Hello, I'm Dr. Jeffrey Weber. I'm the Deputy Director of the Laura and Isaac Perlmutter Cancer Center at the NYU Langone Medical Center. Today we're going to discuss biomarkers for the use of checkpoint protein inhibitors. Much of this work has gone on in the melanoma field, but I believe it will have enormous applicability for the use of these drugs, which is now becoming much more widespread and used in various histologies, including kidney cancer, head and neck cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, non-small cell lung cancer, all of which have achieved FDA approvals in the last year or so for these drugs. There have been two very important sets of data that have come out over the last, I would say, 6 to 8 months. One of them comes from UCLA, the groups of Roger Lowe and Tony Ribas, who have done an extensive series of analyses of both pretreatment and on-treatment samples from patients receiving PD-1 inhibitors, and they find that there are so-called JAK1 and JAK2 mutations in a surprising number of the tumors that both have innate and adaptive resistance to the use of these drugs. And they also find that there are beta-2 microglobulin deletions or mutations that render beta-2 microglobulin inactive, which means that a T cell could not possibly recognize a tumor. So these are genomic changes, some of which occur at the onset of treatment, which would be innate resistance, some of which become or occur with the use of these drugs, which would be adaptive resistance. And again, these are things we'll have to look out for as markers for resistance at the get-go when we use these drugs. In addition, the group of Lowe and Ribas has looked at RNA expression data and made some very interesting findings and have actually defined what's called an iPress signature of genes, which many of which relate to wound healing, the mesenchymal epithelial transition, and a variety of other genes, some of which are interferon gamma inducible. And iPress, by the way, stands for innate resistance to PD-1 antibody. So here they find that when you look at a variety of genes expressed in tumors prior to the use of these drugs, that there are a number of genes that are able to predict resistance. And this is very important because, for example, wound healing genes seem to be very highly represented in this. And it is possible that other important inflammatory genes that relate to the gamma interferon pathway may also be highly represented. A group or set of groups from MD Anderson, headed by Pam Sharma and Jen Wargo, have also found that not only can they detect pretreatment gene signatures and sets of mutations, but they can also detect on-treatment gene mutations and alterations in genes that seem to be associated with outcome. They find that in patients that express mutations in genes that are in a so-called interferon gamma pathway, where those gene pathways are compromised, again, no surprise, those patients do not respond well to either ipilimumab or nivolumab, and they've looked at both, including sets of ipilimumab-treated patients and then sets of ipilimumab-treated patients that progressed and then were treated with PD-1 antibodies. And they find that there are certain common both mutations and gene alterations or alterations in gene expression in these very important inflammatory and immune pathways. Some of these have been seen by different groups, which would strongly suggest that these data are very important and that if we could find a way to upregulate these gamma interferon pathway genes, we might be way ahead of the game in treating patients with melanoma and other cancers with PD-1 blockade. There is no doubt, however, at the end of the day, that a number of other biomarkers, such as PD-L1 staining, the mutational or neoantigen load, will also play an important role in predicting who will do well with these drugs and who will not. Unfortunately, there is no single marker that today is very useful in predicting outcome to the use of these important antibodies. In the future, I suspect it'll be an amalgamated biomarker of both host-related, that is genetic mutations, and tumor-related, gene expression alterations that will tell us who should be treated with these drugs and who not. Again, this is Dr. Jeffrey Weber. Please feel free to call in to give your views and ask questions. Thank you very much for your attention.